Good morning. It's good to see you today, and we're very happy to be able to be together. We thank the Lord for opportunities that He grants us to be able to come before Him and to worship Him. And that's something that we need to always remember, is that as we assemble together, we do so in the presence of God. And to give Him the due respect and reverence that ought to be afforded Him is at the heart, really, of everything that we do, and particularly now as we've come together this Lord's Day in our worship to Him as an expression of our fear, our reverence, our devotion, the homage that we pay Him. And so with that in mind, we want to continue by looking at His Word. And I invite you to get your Bible and join us in our study of God's Word for a few minutes this morning. And I want to add my word of welcome to visitors that are present today. And I thank you very much for you being here, and hope that we can be of encouragement to you in the things of God. Hope that if you have any questions about what we teach or practice, that you'll ask those of us, and we'll do our best to just go through the Bible, go to God's Word, and let God's Word be the final statement, be the final answer of what is true and what is right. And we know that as we do that, then we can have the confidence, we can have the faith that God will bless, as God will keep us in His care as we live by faith, doing His will. It may be that you're here and not a Christian. You need to understand what the Bible says a Christian is. A Christian is one who belongs to Christ, who is of Christ and pertains to Him. And that means that we have to respond in our lives to the Christ in faith, to obey His Word to us, His commands of us, if we're going to be of Him, if we're going to partake of His blessings. That begins by believing that He is the Christ. Well, that God is, of course. We've got to believe God exists, or all else is futile. And believing that God is, and that Jesus is His Son, to confess that faith to others, confess that He is the Christ before men, Matthew 10:32, or else will not be confessed before God who is in heaven. If you'll repent of your sins today, change your heart toward the transgression of God's will in your life, and if you'll be baptized into Jesus, immersed in water for the remission of your sins, to let His blood wash your sins away, He'll raise you up to a newness of life. You will be seated with Him in heavenly places, in fellowship with the Almighty and His Son. And that in that relationship of salvation, being redeemed, that you can now walk in newness of life. Walk with Him now and live with Him eternally as you abide in His Word, as you follow Him, walk in the light as He is in the light, to have fellowship with Him. And so we urge that of you today, to become a Christian and to be a disciple of Jesus. As disciples, it's imperative, it's essential that we are actually learning from Jesus and living what we learn. And at times, sin intrudes into our hearts and into our lives. We say things, we do things that are against the will of God. God is a merciful God, ready and abundant in loving kindness to forgive us our sins as His people. When we will repent of them, when we will confess them to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe that's your need at this very hour. We urge you to go to your Father in prayer, repenting that He may forgive you. Setting your life anew, setting your heart on things that are right inside God, His truth. If we can pray together, if it's some public sin you need to address in a public way and let brethren know, you cease from that and turn back to God. Use this opportunity. We want to encourage you and each one of us in truth and righteousness in all that we say and do. As is in our bulletin, we want to, and as we read from the psalm that Tanner led us in the reading of in Psalm 128, we're going to talk about respect. Respect between parents and children. Respect is fundamental. And so the things that we have to say here this morning is not to single anyone out, but rather to look at each one of us, to look at ourselves in light of what God has revealed about this important subject, both as parents and as children. understanding what respect is taught in God's Word, so that whether we are parents or we are children, of course, remember, many parents are also children, of course, their parents still being alive, you know, that there's a range of respect and responsibility in that area for us all. And so we want to begin by just remembering a little bit about what respect is and how important it is in any relationship. Where there is not respect, it will not be a healthy relationship. It will break, the relationship will break down where respect does not exist. 1 Peter 3 gives an illustration about marriage in verses 5 through 7 when we're reminded about the holy women of old who trusted in God and adorned themselves being submissive to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. The bottom line of that illustration is, as a wife, you show respect for your husband by a submissive attitude and conduct of obeying the leadership of your husbands. In similar fashion, in verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The husband has the responsibility of respecting his wife, to see her preciousness and to give that honor as you would to a precious vessel that is deserving of that honor. Where respect is not found in a marriage, the marriage will suffer trouble. And so that just illustrates, you know, without going into the details, to just remember, just realize something that we all know, but maybe we take for granted, that we need to exert ourselves to be respectful in every relationship that we have. And every one of them, we need to remind ourselves this morning of the value of being respectful and showing that respect in a way that benefits the relationship. Now, another illustration from the Word of God, Hebrews 13 and verse 7 says, "Remember those who rule over you and have spoken the Word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." And then in 17, "Obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls," as those that was given account. The respect that we are to give an eldership is born out of the responsibility they have in watching out for our souls and also understanding the outcome of their conduct and their life of faith. So we show respect by the due submission to the rule of that eldership in a particular congregation. In like manner, the elders are to respect the congregation, being shepherds, pastors who feed the flock, not lording it over, or not of any ill-gotten motives and gains. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. So you see, in any relationship, there is respect, mutual respect, that is going to enhance and strengthen that relationship. And so we come to particularly the parent and child relationship. That's what we want to focus on this morning from the Word of God. How often has either a parent or a child said, "You don't respect me"? It may be that the parents investigated or went through some possessions of the child. "You don't respect me." You know, and maybe the child has been rude and maybe talked back to the parent. The parent says, "You're not respecting me." There's all kinds of scenarios, all kinds of situations. We hear it frequently in the relationship, but I want us to focus in on something. We can either entrench ourselves in an attitude and a decision that our children don't respect us, or my parents don't respect me. We can entrench ourselves. And what I mean by that is we can develop an attitude that just everything else is going to be directed by that, going to be measured by that. Or we can grow up, all of us, parents and children, to a godly assessment of ourselves. You see, That kind of statement, you don't respect me, what's that doing? Well, that's assessing the other person, isn't it? But it rarely looks at me when I'm saying it to make sure that I'm being respectful to the other person, doesn't it? So you see, what we're calling upon today from God's Word is that we all, rather than entrench ourselves in a you don't respect me attitude toward the parent or the child, to instead develop an introspection, a self-examination to see, do I understand what respect is, and am I showing respect in the relationship as a parent to my child or to my parents if I am the child in that relationship? So there's going to be application for both of us, for all of us in the relationship that we're discussing. Our goal is to show proper respect, godly respect, a respect born out of and taught to us from the Word of God in this relationship. Because again, let me go back here and remind us that if there's not respect, the relationship will not be successful. If there is breakdown in the parent-child relationship, then parents and children together need to examine themselves and find out, among other things, to what degree am I not showing the due respect in that relationship? Let's build on that a little bit. Respect is not merely treating the other person the way they want to be treated. You see, it's easy for either one of us sometimes to say, you're not respecting me. And what that really translates into is, you're not treating me the way I want to be treated. Right? Instead of really understanding what respect is. You know, we just define respect as, you treat me the way that I've decided you ought to treat me. And if you'll treat me the way I want you to treat me, then you respect me. But if you're not treating me the way I want to be treated, then you don't respect me. Well, that's self-serving, isn't it? That's not going to get us anywhere except keep us in selfishness if we define respect in those kind of terms. Respect is not born out of resentment or fright. In other words, parents, our children are not going to respect us if we treat them in a way that causes them to resent us. Or if we think that as long as they are afraid of us, then they'll respect us. No, that is not respect. That's not we cannot define respect in those terms and think that if we're conducting ourselves in the relationship in some way that we're going to breed resentment, that somehow or another there's also going to be respect there. That's not going to happen. Respect is not just being polite. Now, there's an element of politeness to respect in our speech, in our conduct. There is an element of respect. Somewhere along the line, a generation and now two or three have not learned to say please and thank you, to say Mr. and Mrs., to show a common courtesy of respect, of politeness, is borne out in language. Respect goes beyond that, but it certainly does begin there sometimes. It starts there. We need to know that God expects that of us. God expects us to be polite to others. Leviticus, the 19th chapter, even the Old Testament law to Israel. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, Word of God says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of the old man and of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. So Israel was taught, God's law told Israel, rise up, show honor in the presence of the old man, the aged one, the elder, the elderly individual. So there's an element of politeness there, courtesy, consideration. So when we start talking about respect, it's not just being polite, but there is an element in it. And we cannot think that we're showing true respect being discourteous, not being polite to others. Respect is not just meeting physical needs of the parent or the child. But again, it is shown by doing so. But that's not the full extent of it. And I hope you get the point we're making. It's not limited to just that, but there's an element of that in it that ought to be regarded. In Matthew 15, verses 4 and 5, remember Jesus is rebuking the scribes and Pharisees for transgressing the commandment of God because of their traditions. For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, everyone who or whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and his mother." The idea embedded in there is that by assisting in physical needs of your parents, you're demonstrating honor. Because they have manipulated God's word to excuse their failure to so honor their parents. He who does not provide for his own house is denied the faith worse than an unbeliever, an infidel, 1 Timothy 5:8. Understand, polite respect includes helping to meet the physical needs of parents and or children, but that's not the full extent of it, but it's an element of it. So what is it? Respect is giving due value or esteem or worth to another person. Recognizing the value of that person and giving the honor or esteem that is due. In Luke 2 and 51, the child Jesus exemplifies this when it says, "He went down with them," this 12-year-old Jesus, at 12, "went down and came with his parents and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart." Jesus was subject or obeyed them, the footnote says. Jesus understood the value of his father and his mother in his life. And he gave them the honor that was due them in that relationship. So if I as a child am going to follow the example of Jesus and respect my parents, then I'm going to esteem them in obeying them. I'm going to respect them by being subject to them like he was. Respect is having and showing proper regard for the person, for the other person. In Matthew 7, 9 through 11, I want you to see how this is embedded in what is said here. In Matthew 7 and verse 9, Jesus, in teaching us that we should ask and it will be given to us, seek and we'll find, knock and the door will be opened to us, he said, in verse 9, "What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" Now, the father who would give the son a stone to eat doesn't respect his son. He does not value his child. He's not showing proper regard for his child. Or, if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? You know, will you give your child a snake when he says, "I'd like some fish"? That's not respecting your child. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" See, his point is from the lesser to the greater as he makes his point of God responding to our requests, that God gives us what we need. But you see, he does it out of a valuing of us. Like we value our children, God values us. He puts a regard upon us and so responds out of his love for us. Respect. It begins with respecting God. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. "This is the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the whole of man, or the whole duty of man." What life is about. This is the whole essence of life. You want to know why you're here? You want to know what your purpose is? The wise man Solomon investigated life and he says, this is the conclusion. Here's the answer. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole of man. This is why you are here. This is what your purpose is all about. You see, if we are not able to respect God, then it means that we've not yet put the right value upon God. And unless and until we respect God, we'll never ultimately respect our parents and or our children the way He wants us to. We've got to put the right value upon God. If that respect is absent, neither the parent nor the child has yet learned the fundamental meaning of respect. The fundamental meaning of respect is to place the right value on the object of our respect. If I, as a child, am not respected my parents, it means I have not valued them properly in my heart and in my conduct. If I, as a parent, have not respected my child, it means I have not put the right value upon him or her and demonstrated that in my reaction or my response to them. If I have not feared God and obeyed Him, it means I have not valued God the way I ought in my life. I have not elevated Him to the highest position of respect and worth and honor and glory that He is due. And so I don't fear Him the way I ought. Look at some of the verses that teach us this. Exodus chapter 20. First seven verses. There in the beginning of the listing of the Ten Commandments. The commands that God gave Moses on the mountain. In fact, God is speaking them from the mountain here before He wrote them on the tablet. In Exodus 20, God spoke all these words saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." Listen to what God is saying. "I am the Lord. I am the one that delivered you. Don't have any other gods before me." You see, embedded in that is Israel. "I am the one that has given you life. I have delivered you from slavery. I am due the honor of not making or not having any other gods other than me. Of not making any other or not making for yourself a carved image," verse 4. "Because I am a jealous God," verse 5. He is jealous of His honor and His glory. He deserves it because of what He has done and who He is. Israel was to respect Jehovah God. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," verse 7. "The Lord will not hold guiltless he who takes His name in vain." You see, our Heavenly Father deserves our respect for what He has, but not only for who He is, but for what He has done. He has delivered us from the bondage of sin. He has shown Himself to truly be God, who sustains us and will take us to eternal glory. If we elevate anything in respect above Him, we're not fearing Him. Israel needed to know that lesson. You and I need to know that lesson. What it means to fear God is to give Him His rightful place of honor, and that translates into obeying His Word. Yielding ourselves to His direction for our lives. You see, if we don't hold God in that esteem, then we've not yet really learned the basic fundamental element of respect. Psalm 115, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 115, 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory. Because of Your mercy, because of Your truth, why should the Gentiles say, 'So where is their God?'" Now, God is the one deserving of the glory. His name, His power, His mercy, and His truth. We honor Him for all of those things. We put the right value upon God because He's a God of truth and mercy and of glory. Now look at verse 9. "O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great." You see, the psalmist says, God is the one who blesses, and we are the ones who give honor. We are the ones who give respect. And you know what? As a child, that teaches me how to respect my parents. It teaches me to remember what my parents have done for me. How they gave me life. How they gave me food. How they gave me clothing. How they blessed me with everything that brings me to the point in my life where I am today is because my parents blessed me. And so in turn, I honor them. In turn, I respect them. Young people, that's why you need to respect your parents. You need to think about what your parents have done for you. Simple. Look at what they have done for you and where you are today. It's because of your parents. They deserve respect. Now, go with me to Hebrews 12. What we're doing is laying the groundwork to be able to apply respect in our relationship as in a family, because you see, God deserves our respect. And as we learn to show Him the respect He deserves, that's going to enable us to show the right respect as parents and as children. If we refuse to give God the honor He's due, we're going to always have trouble showing respect in a family. Just mark it down. It goes back to this. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. Remember, God says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." Then in verse 9, "We have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect." Even in the education and the correction of our lives, God deserves respect. Because He loves us. It shows His love. Similarly in the family. When mother and father discipline you as a child, it's for your good. And you give them respect because they're trying to help you. They're showing their love for you. And you show them respect. Of course, his point here is, if we do that with our parents, we ought to do that with God. Shall we not much rather, more readily, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? We hasten to respect God. And you see, if we don't respect God, we're not going to respect our parents and or our children. And if we are respecting our parents and or our children, then we have a basis to bring that over and ask ourselves, am I respecting God? Am I honoring Him and giving Him the honor He is due? So let's get specific here a little bit about children first, then we'll talk about parents. Children, the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2, which is a quotation of Exodus 20 and verse 12. God spoke this from Mount Sinai to Israel. And He said, honor your father and your mother. He spoke to the children among them. He said, you have a mother, you have a father, and you're to respect them. You're to hold them in proper value. And that's to translate in your treatment of them. Your treatment of them. Let's see that. Children are to so respect their parents that they willingly honor and obey them. I want you to go to Leviticus 19 and verse 3. We've already looked at Ephesians and Exodus, the command of God. And here's another command, but I want you let's just dwell on this for a moment. Leviticus, the 19th chapter. And note, please, with me in the second verse, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, your Lord God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." So in a context in which God begins by telling Israel, I am holy, you be holy, He says to the children, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Or some translations say fear. To revere, to respect, or fear your mother and your father. Now, in studying some of this, I came across a Jewish interpretation and teaching of this out of the old Jewish Talmud. And that was the instructive writings of the Jews. And one that was from the Babylonian Talmud discussed this passage. Here's what they're taught.
fear is defined as not sitting or standing in a parent's designated place and not contradicting a parent. While honor is defined as feeding parents, clothing parents, and helping them come in and out. Fearing and honoring. The Jews in their town, this Babylonian town, were teaching and are teaching that to fear your mother and father means not a dread, not a fright. It is rather translated into knowing their value and not taking their place. Not sitting where they sit. Not standing where they ought to be standing. Giving them the place they are due. Not contradicting them, you see. Not fighting against them and arguing against them, but yielding in honor to the mother and father. Children, how you doing? How you doing? You fight with your mom and dad? Object to what they teach you? Do you instead show them the honor of the place they deserve? Because you see, God has arranged the home. He's arranged the home. And He has set your mother and father in a position of honor, in a position of respect. They are due it. And in fact, holy living demands that you as a child revere, fear, respect your mother and father. So to be holy in this relationship, God calls upon you as a child to not demean, not diminish the dignity of your parents. To do so is to disrespect them. Now, in other words, put that in a different way. If we act in a way that brings shame to our mother or our father, we have demeaned them. We have not respected them. In Deuteronomy 27 and verse 16, Deuteronomy 27 and 16, the Word of God says, "Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt." And all the people shall say, "Amen," or "May it be so." See, this to curse your mother or father, to speak not only disparagingly, but to speak with contempt toward your mother and father was a sin under the law of Moses, even as it is under the gospel of Christ, because it refuses to give the dignity to your parents their due. It's not holy. It's not righteous. So you see, when the Bible says honor your father and mother, it starts with expressing the honor they are due. And you know, it's not as easy as it sounds sometimes, because we live in a society that says, and our children are under influences and pressures every day that says, do what you want to do. Selfishness. And self-satisfaction and self-fulfillment. Do what you want. Not what your parents want. So in fact, you see, the pressures are to think about yourself more. And more importantly, than your parents. Now what if we did that with God? What if would it be okay with God for us to think about ourselves more and more important than Him? Well, of course not. Remember the Ten Commandments. Well, now, you see, that's the basis upon which now as a child I'm supposed to remember that it's not about me, but rather honoring my mother and father. And that when my mother and father speak to me, instruct me, teach me, that I give them honor and respond with the obedience that Ephesians 6:1 says. Obey your mother and father, your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So you see, disobedience diminishes the dignity of the parents. That's really what we're describing here. When a child disobeys the parents, it says the child is not holding the parent in the right value, with the right value. That's true with God.
It's not any different in this parent-child relationship.
Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why do you think that it's right to say, "I'm the ruler, I'm the master, I'm the Savior, I'm the one who blesses you and saves you," but then you don't mind me, you don't obey me? Well, parents are not God. But parents have blessed children with life, and God has given parents particular responsibilities, and God expects children to respect the parents by obeying them. You see, this is about the honor, the value we have toward our parents that then translates into how we treat them. Again, children show respect by listening, by learning, and by following the teaching of their parents. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18 and see this illustrated. Our respect for our mother and our father translates into, am I listening to them? Am I learning from them? Am I following the instruction, of course, in the Lord, Ephesians 6:1, that they give me? In Deuteronomy 21 and 18, the law of Moses said, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gates of the city. They shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Now look at verse 18. Stubbornness and rebellion on the part of the son means they're not obeying the voice of the mother and father. So disobedience in the child, God says, translates to stubbornness and rebellion, not honor, not respect. Even when the parents disciplined him, chastened him, he would not heed. He would not change himself to conform to parental guidance and the honor due the parents. And so the law of Moses brought him under penalty of death because of the gluttony rather than the self-restraint and holy living that the parents were trying to instill in him. Note 2:21 says that in this execution of the rebellious son, you put away the evil from among you. It is evil. Listen carefully. God says it's evil to rebel against our mother and father. It's not righteous. It's not holy. It's evil. And that's straightforward. That's the Word of God. Because He doesn't want us to lose our souls. He wants us to live holy lives. You see, your parents have been given a God-given responsibility to train you, to nurture you in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. So the child ought to hear, ought to obey, given that responsibility that God has placed upon them. And when you do it, it's for your good. You see, when children honor their parents, children need to understand that by doing that, it is for their good. It's for your good. Again, the world says it's not. I know that. Your parents know that. That you are in a world, that we're all in a world that says listening to and obeying your parents is out of date. It's wrong. You're grown up. You're the one now. You decide. And I'm not discouraging or discounting the responsibility that we each are to take as we grow to adulthood. But it is wrong. Wrong-headed and evil for anyone to suggest to a child not to listen to and learn from and be benefited by the wise counsel of the mother and father. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Where God says that, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now look at that, children, for a minute. Any of you have a necklace or a ring or some kind of jewelry or maybe it's a watch, and you value it, don't you? Hope you do.
You value it. You take care of it. He says, that's the way you ought to treat the instruction of your mother and father. Value it. Like you would a chain around your neck, an ornament. He said, it will adorn you like that chain. Put value upon it. See, it's for your good.
See, that you may live long on the earth. That's what he told Israel. If they would obey their parents, they'd be blessed in the land. And if you as a child will listen to and learn from your parents, you're going to be blessed. You're going to avoid a lot of troubles and pain and sorrows out there in the world. Out there in people who know not God and do not fear God. You're going to be spared that.
Amen.
And that's a great blessing.
You see, it's for your good.
Don't believe the devil's lie that says you're missing out. No, you're gaining. You are gaining. Something the world will never do. You see? It's also because you need to value your parents who give you the teaching. Respect them by valuing them. You see, the sons of Eli were wicked men. Before the door of the tabernacle, they were fornicating. They were leading the people into all kinds of sinful conduct. And the Word of God says that they didn't listen to Eli. In 1 Samuel 2, that passage won't read all, but I do want you to see verse 25. It says, "Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father." They didn't listen to their father. And it says, because the Lord desired to kill them, God was going to execute His punishment upon these wicked men. They had so hardened themselves, they refused to listen. But you see, they didn't put any value upon their father. They wouldn't listen to Him. Don't be like that, children. You need to listen to Him because He values you. Because what they're teaching you is for the good. So, by obeying your parents, you're learning to respect God. By obeying your parents, it's a training ground. Colossians 3 and verse 20. When he says, children, obey your parents. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. By obeying your parents, you please God, and you're learning how to obey Him. As we summarize this part, and I have a few more things to say before we close. It's about children accepting the discipline of their parents, and by doing that, you're learning to accept God's discipline. If you're going to reject your parents' discipline, your parents' teaching and instruction, you haven't yet yielded yourself to God's discipline. Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 10. Now let's move on here for a couple of minutes. Oh, well, I overlooked one. It's a significant summary. The child who scoffs at parental teaching hurts himself. But the one who will listen and learn grows in wisdom. That's Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 12. You know, all that passage in Proverbs, the father's been teaching the son about wisdom, and wisdom has become personified. And he says, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, he'll increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He also said in verse 8, do not correct the scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke the wise man and he'll love you. So, if it comes down to you and me as a child, to every child, we would be a scoffer and a fool by not listening to our parents and learning from them and living their teaching, or will we grow in wisdom? Will we gain wisdom under the good counsel of our parents?
Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Ephesians 6:4, Colossians 3:1. The idea of provocation here means to exasperate. Don't exasperate them. Parents are to so respect their children that they train them for their spiritual profit. God disciplines us because He loves us for our spiritual profit. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. And so it is as fathers, as mothers and fathers, as parents, we are to be training our children to help them spiritually, to strengthen them in the things of God. Now, look, he says, do not provoke. Again, the idea is to exasperate, whether by unrighteous and unreasonable and harsh demands. Sometimes we can do that as parents. We can exasperate them because we are just too harsh. we're just unreasonable or even unrighteous in what we expect of the child. That will provoke the child. And it'll be to the detriment of the child and the parents. He says, or by not fairly and faithfully nurturing him. See, if we don't meet our responsibility as parents, then we're not helping their spiritual welfare. And it's a cause of provocation. Let me illustrate and make the points here. Sometimes as a parent, we can exert domineering, being in control attitudes. And that's fatal. That's fatal. If we project a "I'm in control, you respect me," without teaching what we tried to teach this morning about the value of respect, about holding in value one another and parents and children. You see, if I approach my child with that attitude of just "I'm in control and that's it," then I have not expressed respect for the child. I have not held the child in value. And it's going to harm the child. I need to be addressing my child's physical, emotional, and spiritual welfare. I need to convey the respect for the child as a parent. That I understand they have physical, they have emotional, they have spiritual needs that need to be addressed. Now, so parents, fathers, mothers, provocation. Look, provocation invariably leads to one of two things. Look at these two verses. Because they don't say exactly the same thing. They round out the subject. First of all, Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So, I can provoke my child to a point where they're enraged, where the child is enraged against the parents. Maybe I've been too demanding. Maybe I've been unreasonable. Maybe I've been unrighteous in my treatment of the child. And so I provoke rage. That's not nurturing them in the way of the Lord, but rather injecting their spirit with sin. Now look at the second point, Colossians 3:21. Provocation may not lead to wrath, it may lead to discouragement and the loss of spirit. To lose heart and feel worthless and incapable of pleasing the parents. See that what that verse says? Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So we as parents have a balancing act of showing due value to our child so that we neither inject them with rage nor instill within them an attitude of discouragement and losing heart. Our goal is their spiritual strength and welfare, their growth in Christ, to give our child consistent boundaries and correction. It shows that we respect our children. Now again, the world says if you really respect your child, you don't give them any boundaries. No. By respecting your child, you give the boundaries necessary to help equip them with godly living. But be consistent with the child. Again, with the child. Each child is unique. Each child needs their own boundaries and their own correction given that child's development. Each with the goal, of course, of fearing God and keeping His commandments. So parents, remember your children are like olive plants. Psalm 128:3. Each is unique. Each needs to be fed. Each needs to be tended. Each is, the desire of each is that they bear fruit. Good fruit. Honorable fruit. That will honor God as well as honor their parents. So parents, let us respect our children. Nurture them in the things of God. You know, a simple thing to remember is do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Yes, parents, you bear a responsibility over children. But you know, when it boils down, we treat them the way we want to be treated. We treat them the way we want to be treated. But God's treating us as our Heavenly Father, teaching us how to treat our children. And when we'll do that, when parent and child will equally take on these
responsibilities, then we're going to develop the fear of God. We're going to grow in wisdom.
We're going to fulfill the Word of God. You see, the parent-child relationship will not improve by entrenching ourselves in an it's-your-fault mentality. We each are to show respect for the other, given the roles and responsibilities due under the Word of God. We'll do that showing the fear of God. We'll be respecting one another. And it will help us solidify our relationships in the home. And even more than that, it will give the honor to God that God is due. What about you this morning? Have you respected God in your life? In other words, have you listened to God and obeyed God? Because you value Him and you know what He has done for you in His Son dying on the cross for you and all the other good blessings that are from His hand. You begin a life of respect for God. You begin that right now. If you'll repent of your sin, if you'll confess that Jesus is the Son of God, upon that faith be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, then live every day in newness of life, obeying God, respecting God. He'll bless you. As God's people, maybe as a parent, I haven't shown respect for my child as I should. I've been overbearing or demanding or unrighteous in my treatment of them. Or as a child, I haven't honored my mother and father. I've shown contempt to them. I haven't risen and given them the place they are due in my life. You can repent of that sin as well. As we stand before God, if we as God's people will repent and pray, He'll forgive us. I appreciate your attention to the Word of God this morning. I urge you to come while we stand and we sing.